Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, how are you handling the emotions surrounding week 17?
What emotions, Sean?
I don't know. This is the last full week of NFL action. I know I'm kind of bummed out.
Well, it's one of those things. But it's also the beginning of the playoffs, which is awesome, which is what, 4 weeks of awesome.
That is true. We got a lot of NFL action coming up. Yeah, it is tough these last couple of weeks to handicap the games. We were talking about it before the show. Some of these teams with seemingly nothing to play come out and play a really, really hard game. And then some teams with so much to play just don't play at all. It's hard to get an idea of which team is going to show up and how hard.
Well, it's also the added element of, when did they change it? Like 2-3 years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, where all, like the last week is all divisional games. So it's like, you would think there'd be more motivation there based on the fact that you're playing probably a rival in some capacity.
Yep. Or at least a team you've seen once before. So there's probably some form of revenge. And also, I mean, that's making me lean. I'm just telling you right now, I'm thinking a lot of dogs this week just because.
You would think with the size of some of these spreads.
They are pretty huge, although I like a couple of the big ones. I don't know. Let's recap week 16. Buffalo at home against Miami. Oh man, I did not see this coming. I thought Miami with the playoffs on the line would show up in, they did not show up at all. They got worked 19-0 by the Bills at home.
Yeah.
Classic spot for the Bills to show up. I know it just seemed too easy to handicap. Oh, the Dolphins in Buffalo in December. Of course, you got to take the Bills. I think I overthought this a little bit going with the Dolphins.
Yeah, this was a 2.5 point spread, right, Sean?
Yeah.
And then it moved down to pick 'em by kickoff. It seemed like it's classic. I feel like the Buffalo Bills are 2.5 point to 3.5 point home dogs more than anyone else in the league. And that's perhaps why they seem to cover a lot of these. But
and something I'm kicking myself in handicapping this game. Also, Buffalo won both games, and Thad Lewis was the starter down in Miami last time.
Yeah,
when they beat the Dolphins. So maybe Thad Lewis has the Dolphins figured out.
He's proven to be a somewhat competent quarterback. Like, he seems like a guy that's going to be he's going to be a backup for a handful of years in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the mix, definitely. I thought not having Stevie Johnson would hurt the Bills, but they just showed up. And I thought Miami would be able to do something on offense, and I was surprised they did nothing.
Well,
it's pretty crazy.
Philbin was getting a lot of shit again for abandoning the run game early. I don't know. He's having a pretty successful year, and I still think he's a horrible coach. So I have a hard time getting behind this Miami team.
Interesting team. Minnesota Vikings went into Cincinnati. Definitely thought this game would be a little bit closer. Minnesota catching 7 and the hook at 7.5. And wow, not even close here. Cincinnati dominated, ran up the score 42-14 at home. Again, maybe you thought, I mean, this is a good spot, I guess, to fade Minnesota, but again, with AP back, and it felt like it should have been a much closer game here.
This Cincinnati team is becoming like a mini like Seahawks or Saints. They just dominate at home. I don't know.
They're very hot and cold as well.
I'm very excited to bet on them in the first round of the playoffs and fade them in the second round.
Yeah, they seem to be a bet on at home and just blindly fade on the road. Ryan, my Indianapolis Colts went into Kansas City as a 6.5 point underdog, 7 point in some places. I was high on the Colts last week, and with good reason. They took care of business against a Kansas City Chiefs team who doesn't have much to play for these days, winning 23-7, possibly looks like a preview of AFC wildcard weekend, although the game will be played in Indy, the next one, and I don't know, Ryan. Where were the Kansas City Chiefs in this game?
Well, I think we talked about it briefly on the podcast last week, but I thought I think I mentioned, I thought Andy Reid might not show anything. That's why, yeah, I was a little worried. But although, I mean, I guess Indy had something to play for, kind of. I guess there's a slight chance they can get up to the three seed if they win and Cincinnati loses. But,
well, yeah, it just seemed, this one seemed like a classic thing. Like you said, Andy Reid, veteran coach, knows there's not much to be played for here, not going to show anything. So imagine Alex Smith with a limited playbook. They're not going to get much done, and Indy is going to seize an opportunity to kind of have a meaningless victory. So it seemed pretty clear that the play was Indy here.
Yeah.
But then again, Indy is obviously all over the map, and definitely has not shown up on the road. So,
well, and the same. So it's kind of like handicapping these week 17 games. It's hard to want to get behind a team that doesn't really. I mean, I guess Indy had a little bit more to play for, but I mean, at the same time, they're locked in. They're probably going to be the four seed. There wasn't much for them to play for. Very strange. Strange game. I don't know if you watched much of it, but
I was on the red zone, so I caught a couple pieces here and there.
My man Jamal Charles helped carry me to two fantasy championships, Sean.
I also won my won some cash in my cousin's league. He was talking a ton of crap, and yeah, felt really good.
Oh yeah,
beating him out partially thanks to Jamal Charles.
Yep, got one of the teams I split with our friend Steve, who also participates in the super contest with us. And as soon as it was done, it was we actually had a shot. We were up big. This was actually pretty crazy going into the Monday night game, and it was one of those leagues where if you score a touchdown over 40 yards, it counts as a double. So the Falcons get down to where they're almost going to do a Hail Mary, and basically if they throw a Hail Mary to Tony Gonzalez, we lose. And
Wow.
Of course they throw like a 5-yard pass to Tony Gonzalez. It gets to the 35. We're now safe. They kick the field goal. Everything's good. But as soon as that happened, I get the text from Steve to pop some champagne. So
pop some fantasy football champagne.
He's like, we took the ship. Pop the champagne.
Tampa Bay Bucks at St. Louis. Once again, two teams with nothing to play for. This line dropped. I picked it, or I think we picked on the podcast when Tampa was close to 5, 5.5, 6. It dropped all the way down to 2.5 before kickoff. I know Frisco Warrior and a couple guys on the Twitter liked the Rams there laying 2.5. That was a good call. They won by 10. I thought I liked Tampa getting closer to 6, but again, this to me, I had no interest in actually betting this game here.
Yeah, interesting how it was. You know, Tampa was horrible. The market caught up, and then Tampa improved, and the market took a little while to catch up. And now I almost feel like it's overreacted because I think they've now not covered 2 or 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, possibly overadjusted once again. It's interesting now that there's so much more information about sports gambling. You know, and thanks in part to shows like ours, that guys are. They're becoming like the square sharps or whatever.
Well, it's that whole like the dog is always the sharp side mentality, and people, you definitely see it more, especially now that ESPN covers it, and some other, you know, Colin Cowherd's doing his weekly Blazing 5 with RJ Bell, and it's like, I think the average person who kind of keeps track of it enough to know that. Sharps do enjoy playing dogs, but it's kind of interesting because I think the sharps were on Tampa in this game, which is what drove the money the line down. But it is one of those things. Like I feel like more and more people are playing dogs than ever before. Like in the past, the public was always on the favorite in the over, and that's not the case anymore.
Cleveland Browns at New York. I like the Browns here catching a couple.
Oh yeah,
Jets. Jets, I just thought Cleveland was a better team, but the Jets, again, how do you pick a team like the Jets? They showed up at home for Rex Ryan. To me, it just came down to Jason Campbell is a better quarterback than Geno Smith, but I don't know. I cannot pick this Jets team to save my life. Jets won 24-13.
I've not had success picking the Jets or the Dolphins this year, and unfortunately they play each other coming up. But yeah, it does seem like the Jets have been a decent play at home when they're coming off a loss. But I don't know. I mean, look, they went, what, 10 games into the season, winning one, losing one. So they've just been they've been a model of inconsistent consistency. I don't know. And they're garbage. That's the worst part, is like they're not a good team.
Very, very weird. It'll be interesting. What do you think, Ryan? Does Rex Ryan come back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, if I was a Jets fan, I would want Rex Ryan back. I don't know how much play he has in terms of who's getting drafted, but I think the GM is the one who's got to go. What was it? Tannenbaum? Who's the GM? Is that
his name? But I think they already fired the GM last year, right? And then this is the first year with the new GM.
It could be a situation where the owner, I don't know if you remember the Hard Knocks with the Jets, but the owner seems a little too involved for my liking. And I think one thing that you see pretty consistently when an owner is involved, you see guy overpaying for quarterbacks. And you saw it with the Redskins, you saw it. I mean, I guess the Cowboys haven't done that yet, but I don't know. I don't think Rex Ryan was.
Well, Ryan, I don't know if I would agree with the Cowboys not overpaying for a quarterback when you consider.
Oh, sorry. I meant in the draft, but yeah, they just overpaid drastically for Tony Romo.
Well, Tony Romo's one case, but Kyle Orton, $10 million contract. I had no idea. The contract he signed, their backup quarterback, $10 million. $5 million of it was in a signing bonus.
Wow.
So he's getting paid more than Russell Wilson, all these draft picks. I think that $10 million is way too much to pay for a backup quarterback.
I just refuse to believe that Rex Ryan... I mean, Rex Ryan's a defensive guy. I mean, his defense is still good. It's not a situation where sometimes you see like an offensive-minded coach goes to a team and the offense sucks and the defense is great. Rex Ryan is he is executing his part of the deal.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think in the same way that Andy Reid really needed Jim Johnson all those years he had success to kind of manage the defense, I think Rex Ryan needs to be partnered with a solid offensive coordinator who can kind of... Obviously they need a franchise quarterback. I don't think they've had one his entire time.
No, it helps to have a guy who's competent, but it also helps to have... I think they might want to take a look at their scheme. I don't know, improve the offensive line. I think the big thing is a team like that, you just have to have a really good offensive line so you can run the ball, eat clock, make your defense better. I think Rex Ryan comes back. I think there's going to be less coaches fired this year than we might have thought 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. Because I think some of the really bad teams, like the Jags, they're going to keep their coach. Tampa Bay's probably going to keep their coach, although now news is coming out, Sean.
Yes.
Greg Schiano has indirectly put his name in the running for the Penn State job if Bill O'Brien was to leave.
Yeah, he put out some feelers, which is not a good sign.
I don't see how this guy is going to have a very long career in the NFL.
Don't understand it. Speaking of the Cowboys, Ryan, Dallas went into Washington with their backs against the wall, squeaked out a victory 24-23. We had a big play on Washington, +3, so that cashed, fortunately. Washington, man, there is no reason they should have lost this game. Also, there is no reason not to go for two earlier in the game. Yeah, it made no sense.
I was actually at your house watching this, and we talked about it for a little. Like, you're down. You're going to be down. I mean, why not go for two there? These coaches.
Yeah, the difference between 20 and 21 when Dallas had. Why would you? I mean, the difference between 19 and 20 when Dallas has 14.
It's these coaches are afraid to go. I mean, they should have gone for it earlier. These coaches are afraid to go for two when it's not the fourth quarter. I feel like because someone created this when to go for it card, and it probably says in the top. Only use in fourth quarter.
Well, I mean, Shanahan's strategically. Not going for two in an attempt to lose outright.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that the Cowboys' backs were against the wall.
Exactly.
No pun intended, I'm sure.
Oh, Brian, there was a pun intended. Oh,
okay.
Tony Romo herniated disc. Now it was pretty funny. I'm back home outside of Philly here and listening to sports talk radio. Guy called in, was like, "This is what the holidays are all about."
I mean, it was a nice Christmas present, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Was Tom Green happy with the prognosis or the diagnosis?
Yeah, I think everyone's stoked, but also kind of a bit cautious because
now you're in a situation where it's like, holy crap, we have to win this game.
Right. The pressure kind of moves to the Eagles. Although I think it was still kind of on the Eagles, but it would have been, I don't know, it's weird. It's like Tony Romo's a much better quarterback, but I would almost rather face a Tony Romo at 70%, knowing his history of choking and how he pressure does seem to get to him versus, in a way, Kyle Orton coming off the bench with nothing to lose and just playing loose. The guy can, I mean, he's a competent backup for sure. I think they drastically overpaid for him, but I don't know, Ryan, if you're an Eagles fan, who would you rather go against this week?
It's the variance versus the consistency. Like, it's kind of, we're talking about Kyle Orton being a consistent starter. I mean, he was a consistently below average starter.
He 34 and 35.
He's a classic guy who he's as good as his defense and offensive line will be. And, I don't know if you've seen the Cowboys defense, but so I don't know. I think I would rather have the Kyle Orton, John Kitna combo personally. But that's just
John Kitna, 41, signed out of retirement.
Yep.
To back up Kyle Orton. Although Jason Garrett's saying that Tony Romo still has a chance to play and should not be ruled out.
Yeah, Jason Garrett's an idiot. Speaking of coaches who should be fired, who won't be.
They're looking dead in the eye at another 8-8 season. And even if they do beat the Eagles, is there any way they win a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, Sean, the Cowboys have been in position to win, to have it, at least 3 years, they've been playing for the division the last week and gotten handled. The Giants and then the Redskins, and then this year, I'm guessing the Eagles will handle them.
Hopefully. I'm not gonna jinx it, Ryan.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers at home. My man, Cam Newton, showing up big time, taking the Panthers down the field last drive of the game, winning 17-13 against Drew Brees. Man, this is, I know you were huge on Carolina -3. I also was on Carolina -3. My only hesitation was this seemed too easy, Carolina -3. A better defense, New Orleans on the road, possible weather, and that's just kind of how the game shook out.
I think some people are too high on New Orleans, but yeah, it seemed easy. But for me, the big play on this game was a bet I made before the season, and that was Panthers to win the division. +450. So it basically came down to this game, and now short of some sort of Carolina blowing it at Atlanta, looks like they're gonna win the division and get the 2 seed.
So basically New Orleans needs a win and a Carolina loss to get the division back.
Yep.
All right. Tennessee at Jacksonville. Another ugly game, Jacksonville. Had a chance to win at home once again and blew it. Titans 20, Jags 16. I had the Titans laying 5. Unfortunately for me, the Jaguars covered because they only lost by 4 points. I didn't really watch much of this game, but it seemed like another classic Jags collapse.
Yeah. Now they're probably not going to hit that that win total of 5. Man, they should have won this game. They should have won last week's game. The Jags and the Bucks are having a pretty similar against the spread season.
Yeah, they started out 0-8 and then both went 4-1 against the spread and straight up, and then now both faltering as of late here.
Yeah, so it's looking like they're going to both sit around the maybe 5-11, 4-12 range.
Not good. Denver Broncos went into Houston. Man, Houston kept it close, had a chance to win. Definitely was in this game. And man, Peyton Manning just turned on the afterburners late in this game, lit him up 37-13, covering the 10.5 point spread. I felt good about Denver in a blowout here. And yeah, that's basically what it amounted to. It was a Matt Schaub sighting. Matt Schaub, one of those plays where he pump fakes and then the ball fumbles out of his hand. It's just like, oh man, could anything more go wrong with this Houston team?
Yeah,
like I said, Ryan, when Wade Phillips took over, this was a steam blind play against for the rest of the season, and it's been working so far.
Well, and this is a good example of you have a classic home dog, the square sharps. Everyone thinks that's the home dog is the side. I was in agreement. I couldn't take Denver. I couldn't take Houston. I think I ended up putting a small play on Houston money line, but yeah, man. I think the sharps were actually on Denver in this game. Once it went down to 10, especially.
Lit him up.
Yeah, pretty sad season for the crazy thing is they're so stacked with talent. All they need is a quarterback. They're going to have the first pick in the draft.
They're going to be Johnny Manziel possible destination.
No,
they're going to be...
stop it. He's garbage.
I didn't say I liked him. I don't think he's good, but I think I can see Houston. Yeah, they seem like they're possibly setting up for the Kansas City Chiefs of next year.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, talk. It's like the Spurs when they Robinson was out for a year and they got Tim Duncan. You know, it's like, man,
way too much talent to be this horrible. Obviously, Arian Foster being out doesn't help. Speaking of sad season, Ryan, the Detroit Lions at home needing a win against the lowly Giants coming into town with nothing to play for. I thought Detroit would show up in the dome, home crowd. The Giants with nothing to play for against a non-divisional opponent on the road. Recipe for a blowout, but no. The New York Giants managed to squander their draft pick status and beat the Lions 23-20, ending their season, possibly putting the nail in the coffin of Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, well, I think they had what they were playing for is Tom Coughlin. I think Justin Tuck had another like pregame or sometime during the week, some sort of press conference where he said he would, you know, he'd fight people who didn't play hard for Tom Coughlin. So, I mean, as long as he's on your side, I feel like you're probably not. I don't think, I've been saying it all year to you, but there's no way Coughlin gets fired. And this is why. I mean, this is where you tell if a coach should be fired or not. If their team shows up when there's nothing to play for.
And they show up, they did. Detroit, the direct opposite, everything to play for and not show up. A telltale sign that, I mean, there's no way this team should be 7-8 or whatever they are. That's pretty ridiculous.
No, it's crazy. I, you know, 5 weeks ago and,
yeah, 5 weeks ago, Green Bay and Chicago lose their starting quarterbacks and Detroit is the one who blows it.
Yeah. And well, not even that. It's the I mean, 5 weeks ago, I have under 8 wins for Detroit, and I thought that was going to be a for sure loss. So.
You never know, Ryan, in the National Football League. Speaking of not knowing, the Arizona Cardinals went into Seattle, not only covered the 10.5 point spread, but were a live dog who bit the Seahawks hard, winning 17-10. Oh man, I took a Seahawks second half here when it was tied at 10, thinking that, Seahawks could win by 6, but no, the Cardinals win by 7. Cardinals win in spite of Carson Palmer throwing 4 interceptions. The Seahawks dethroned at home. The last time they lost at home was 2011. I don't know, Ryan. Is this just a kind of fluke game for Seattle?
Yeah. I think they were I mean, they didn't really have a ton to play for. I mean, I know they did have stuff to play, but I'm not going to take too much from this game. I think Arizona's just better than we. Arizona's got a good defense. And
oh, Ryan, you can't say better than we because I've been high on Arizona all season. Even with
Sean, I got to pull a soundbite from you saying that when we had this discussion and I was maybe like week 3 or 4. I think you said something to the effect of, "I didn't think they were going to be a 10-win team. I just thought they were going to win more than 5 or whatever their line was, 5.5."
Right.
Anyway, they're really good. I mean, they're going to end up being an 11-win team probably, or potentially.
Well, and that's the crazy thing. They're potentially an 11-win team and not make the playoffs, which you got to be.
Last time that happened was the Patriots led by Matt Castle, I believe.
No, that sounds about right. Although I thought they, maybe they didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs that year.
I thought they were 10-6, but.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Either way, that's gotta be tough. 11-5, not getting in the playoffs. Boo-hoo, cry me a river. Pittsburgh Steelers at Green Bay Packers. Wild game in the snow, back and forth. I like the Packers here. Felt good about the Packers, but no. Ben Roethlisberger pulls out another victory. Green Bay was, they were on their own 10, and a false start penalty caused the runoff, and Packers players are claiming that the ref told them not to hike it, and that caused like 5 seconds to run off, and basically cost them another chance at scoring a touchdown. Anyway, wacky game, back and forth. There's that batted ball fumble out of bounds that got like, I don't know, crazy game here, but Pittsburgh wins 38-31 and keeps their faint playoff hopes alive.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's playoff chances are more than faint. I think they actually, don't they control, they just need Miami to lose, right?
No, I think they need Miami, Baltimore, and San Diego to lose.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That, I guess that even with that, it's crazy they have a shot.
So, yep, they do have a shot. Oakland Raiders, whew, how did they not cover this game? They were in it the whole time, getting 10 points. Not enough. San Diego Superchargers eke out a cover 26-13 against the 10-point dog of the Raiders. And Chargers, they need Baltimore and Miami to lose early, and they play late. So they'll know going into the Kansas City game whether or not they have a shot.
Which is another interesting looking at the spread, that makes for a very interesting
And Andy Reid said he will rest his starters.
Yeah.
So to what degree and how much, he hasn't revealed, but look to see some backups there for KC. New England Patriots went into Baltimore and just laid down a whooping against the Ravens. Ravens, we thought they were going to make some noise here, maybe make a late push. Not looking good. Joe Flacco's knee banged up. Not much help there. New England was one of my big plays of the weekend and felt good, obviously, the entire game.
Yeah, it was surprising. I didn't see this coming.
Thought it would be, I like New England here. Obviously, I thought it would be a little closer. I thought New England maybe win by a field goal, maybe, 4-7 point victory for the Patriots, but New England getting amped up for the playoffs, and someone's got to get hot here in the AFC and possibly the Patriots.
Yeah, now's a good time to bring up, I hope everyone grabbed the NFC while there are still plus points in the Super Bowl, because last I looked, the NFC is now -3.
A lot of value there, Ryan. A lot of value.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago Bears went into Philadelphia with the chance to lock up the NFC North. The Eagles didn't have a lot to play for. Wanted to lock up the third seed. And like Chip Kelly pointed out, we're from Philadelphia. We fight. He also pointed out that if the Eagles were to go into Dallas and tie, they would want this game against Chicago as a win. Because if they went in and tied against Dallas, then they would still win the division.
Yep.
But regardless, Eagles didn't have a lot to play for, but they were at home. They were on Sunday Night Football, and they lit up the Chicago Bears 54-11. Dominating performance. Nick Foles looked sharp. LeSean McCoy running all over the field. Defense or special teams got a turnover early that really busted things wide open here.
Yeah, man, hard to see the Cowboys doing much better than the Bears did against this running attack.
Yeah, obviously you are going to talk about the Tony Romo injury, but the real injury should be the Sean Lee injury. That was their most competent player on defense, and without him anchoring that defense.
Look what's happened. I mean, he's basically been injured for the past, six, 7 weeks. And you look at what they were the first 5-6 weeks of the season. You look what they've done since. When you run that Tampa 2, you need to have a linebacker that can basically run up and down the field, make those cover those seam routes, but also run sideline to sideline. So, and not having him, I mean, he's probably a top five middle linebacker in the NFL. So not having him is a bigger deal. I'm not sure he's worth point. I mean. he probably should be worth points on the spread, but rarely are defensive players worth anything. But it seems like with the Cowboys specifically in that system, he should be worth a half point, at least, maybe a point.
Yeah, and just look at... I mean, that's the... Everyone keeps talking about, oh, the Cowboys won't have Romo. I think it's more just, how did the Cowboys' defense slow down this Eagles' offense? I mean,
it's not about who they won't have, it's about who they still do have, and that's Monty Kiffin and... Jason Garrett, although he's not calling the plays. I'm blanking on the guy that took over, was it Bill Callahan? I just don't think they have any clue. I think it's crazy that Jason Garrett has been, secured his job for next year. I mean, at some point, like it's one of those things. They always say it in the NBA, but the worst thing you can do is be mediocre every year. It's not as big of a deal in the NFL, but I mean, the last thing you want to do is be the first team out of the playoffs because you're not getting a great draft pick and you're not making the playoffs. You're sitting in mediocrity. And I feel like the Cowboys have won between 7 and 9 games like the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I think they've won 8 and they've been 8 and 8 the past 3. I'm pretty sure.
Pretty hilarious.
But,
I mean, look, I'm not complaining.
Atlanta Falcons went into San Francisco. Emotional game for the 49ers. And man, an emotional comeback for the Atlanta Falcons. Down 3, they kick an onside kick. A great recovery. Got a guy tight ropes along the sideline to recover the onside kick. They have great field position. They're on the 20 with, you know, a minute something left. And man.
Talk about a way to lose a teaser.
Oh, wow. Yeah. If you had San Francisco or...
No, the under. So
oh, yeah, the under.
It was, I mean, especially because it was like 10-3 at halftime. And I think I was texting with you like, oh man, I definitely should head. In my head, I'm like, why don't I just parlay the Niners with the over in the second half and give myself kind of a window. And of course, what happens, the scoring onslaught in the fourth quarter, you know, Falcons are getting bombs. And then that weird, like, all that San Francisco has to do is recover the onside kick, and I've never seen a worse defensive onside kick ever. Ever. They only had one guy going for the ball, and he didn't even really try. Like, it's almost like he thought someone was behind him. And then the Falcons recover it, and then they're clearly it looks like it's going to overtime, which at that point I'm like, oh, this will be cool. Then the Arizona-San Francisco game will be a huge deal next week. And then, of course, but at the same time, I'm kind of rooting for a pick where the guy just gets tackled, game over, I win my teaser. And, of course, the pick happens, but Bowman is able to take it to the house. And the whole time I'm like, dude, I mean, honestly, the smart thing there, I know that no NFL player outside of Brian Westbrook would do this, but the game's over if he slides down after he picks it off. The game is over. By scoring, he gives Atlanta a chance to score, get an onside kick, and score again. So, really, Atlanta's chance of winning improved by him running that back.
Yeah. Well, and a similar thing happened in that Green Bay-Pittsburgh game where I don't know why when the Green Bay was backed up in their own, I think they went for it on fourth. Or no, it was when Flynn fumbled. And instead of – or, yeah, Flynn fumbled – and instead of just running the clock out and then kicking a field goal, they ran the ball, and then Green Bay let him score, making it a one-score game. And then Green Bay drove all the way down and almost tied it up. If it wasn't for that false start penalty, they would have had a few shots there.
What's really fascinating about that is you're seeing a little bit more of the analytics being brought into the NFL. I mean, it's already there from the front office perspective, but – and if any of you listen to the first preview podcast on pregame, Steve Fezzik, who's former, 2-time champion of the Hilton contest or the Las Vegas hotel contest, he's their Tuesday guest or guest host. And he's always screaming about this. And it is kind of remarkable that people don't talk about this more. Because it is one of those things. Like if it's less than field goal game? Like if kicking a field goal either gives you the win, or puts it out of like that's the way you don't try to score. Of course the defense is going to let you score. That's their only chance they have. Now the good news for the dumb coaches on offense is that most coaches on defenses are too dumb to realize that too. But I mean, you saw Belichick do it in the Super Bowl, right? And it's like Ahmad Bradshaw, you're an idiot. Like, you were told to get down. It's just one of those things. Like, all you're doing is giving them a shot. You're going from them having 0% chance to, you know, having maybe 20%, but that's still a huge shift in the outcome of the potential outcome of the game. It's remarkable that these coaches are allowed to be this bad at this part of their job.
It's
what I've been kind of giving Chip Kelly credit all year, but he's lucky they changed the rule. He tried to challenge a turnover. It's like, how do you not know there aren't many rules about challenging.
Yeah.
It's like when you're driving and you get to a stoplight, red means stop, yellow means slow down, and green means go. It's not like, we're not talking about brain surgery.
Yeah. And I guess what is nice and what's refreshing about Chip Kelly is that he goes, you know what? Yeah, I knew the rule. I screwed up. That was my bad. I messed it up.
That's good. But it's still, even though I'd like that, you know, admitting that you're wrong is nice because most NFL coaches don't do that. But still, how do you not know that rule?
Yeah, it is a simple rule. I think we underestimate the adrenaline aspect in NFL coaching where these guys probably are.
But Sean, we're not coaches, but we probably watch more games than these NFL coaches. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe, yeah, or maybe they just, I think there is something where they're just, I mean, look at Mike Tomlin standing on the sideline. Like, I think they get caught up in the emotion of the game, and you see them jumping around and throwing their headset and turning red in the face and whipping stuff and yelling and screaming. I think these guys get really angry and emotional. You see a bad call go the wrong way. You don't take that second to rationally think about it, and you just whip that challenge flag out. Well,
maybe that's why more coaches should take the Tom Coughlin approach, and that's jam the thing so far into your sock that it takes you like a minute to get it out. So by then it is funny though that you have assistant coaches for everything. You have basically paid internships, quality assistant coaches, quality
yes.
control coach. How do you not have a quality control - in-game timeout / challenge assistant? And all his job is to learn how you're supposed to go and go for two. He's supposed to learn when you go for two, when you don't challenge, and when you should call how you should call timeout to maximize.
But then again, I mean, with the challenge, I definitely agree, and the time and that stuff. But with the 2-point, I think some of that is you got to know your team.
No, I disagree. Look, dude, it's like it's the point where it's like blackjack. There's times you go mm-hmm. for two, and there's times you don't.
I don't know, but there's also, you know, your team. I think there's points where you know they have a better chance of making a 2-point than when they don't.
Maybe, but look, and that's why Chip Kelly, who's been on record, he's like, I, that's one of the more important things. He spends more time than the average coach on those plays because, I mean, look, he goes for two a lot because he's not an idiot. I mean, if there's one thing that Chip Kelly did, he's kind of, you know, he took a college program. Granted, they have Nike money and they can recruit, but I mean, one of the reasons that they were so successful and the reason that his offense is kind of a little bit changing the game is that it's based on, look, the reason they run it's a spread attack, but it's a spread attack to spread, like they said they've said almost every broadcast. His goal isn't to spread his offense out to get guys open in space. Well, it is, but it's because he wants to spread the defense out. And if you spread the defense out, you use the whole field. I mean, you see it so often. Coaches don't use the whole field. It's a lot easier to defense plays that way. You spread it out and then you run. Your gaps are going to be bigger. It's just, he seems like he's a much more analytical guy. And I think more coaches, as we see younger coaches coming in, I think you're going to see more of this and you might, you know, maybe you'll see a couple more analytical Ron Rivera's come up. isn't that what he's trying to go by?
Yeah.
Did you see that? It was either a press conference or like some sort of news snippet about him that he didn't like the name Riverboat Ron. He wanted to go by Analytical Ron. It's like, calm down, Ron. See, there's a team that he listened to an assistant coach who was like, look, dude, you should really be going for it on fourth down here. So it's just, it's kind of refreshing, I guess, to see coaches,
thinking a little outside the box.
And well, admit that they might not understand the game as well as they think they understand the game. I mean, the game that most of these coaches grew up with was, you know, pound the ball, you know, 4 yards in a cloud of dust. They're basically a bunch of Parcells types coaches, right? And you see, like, the Belichick's been doing it for years, and no one's really copied him until, like, the whole going for it. I don't know. Anyway, Sean, recap, yep. Pick him with 1 week to go. I am a genius. Top spot, taking over the top spot from Zim Zum Not Dumb. He's got 126. Oh, no. Zim Zum Not Dumb, 124. A Ratch, or Rart, this guy's got to come up with an easier name to pronounce. I know it's his name, but I'm not in favor of it. He's tied with CJ Nooch with 122 for third, and then two guys tied for fifth, Lamar Scrotum and G Luna. Wow, and there's a little bit of gap after that, so those guys, assuming they don't collapse, you know, get ready to send us some addresses so we can send you a... What did we decide on how many shirts we're sending out this year, Sean?
I think it was the top five.
But top 10%?
Yeah. Sounds about right.
All right, and real quick, league heads. Still at the top spot, Sean. I cannot be touched. 14-1. Coming in second, league heads representing strongly with 13-2. The Bad Horse, 12-3. Also clinched the playoff spot. My Vic in a box, 10-4, has it clinched. Twitter, nah, 8-6, clinched. Square Money, 7-6, clinched. And there is a 6-8-1 team and 4-6-9 teams competing for the last two spots. Reminder, playoffs start during the playoffs, Sean.
Playoffs?
The nice thing about the end of the regular season is new fantasy football team for the playoffs, new gambling opportunities for the playoffs.
Yep.
I don't know. It's always fun. More prop bets. All right, Sean. Week 17. The one thing about week 17 that's always kind of crappy is there's just too many games on at once. Like, they put like 8 games on early and like 7 games late and one night game. There's no Thursday night game, no Monday night game. Everything gets settled on Sunday. All right, let's start off. First game, Panthers travel to Atlanta to face the Falcons. Of course, we'll be using the Las Vegas hotel contest lines. Panthers laying 7. I believe this spread has since dropped. It looks like it's dropped down to 6, 6.5. But let's play it with the 7. Falcons playing scrappy, Sean. Panthers have everything to play for. A win here guarantees them a bye, guarantees them the division. And quite frankly, I think they're just a better team. I don't believe in this Falcons team. I think the fact that the Falcons kept it close with the 49ers was more of a product of the 49ers offense continuing to struggle and settle for field goals. And Kaepernick's just not Cam Newton. Like you said, going to look to a lot of dogs this week, but in this scenario, based on what the Panthers have to play for, I think the Panthers make a statement here.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take Panthers as well. Atlanta, short week. Over 7, maybe I'm thinking about Atlanta, but at 7 and under, I think you got to take Carolina here.
Sean, it's comfortable on the Cam wagon, isn't it? Nice big seats.
Ooh. Well, oh, man.
Ride that train. So
can't wait to bet against the Panthers in the playoffs.
For the sake of me and you having a fun playoff experience, I really hope the Panthers play the Eagles. I think that would just be swell. Plus, isn't the Panthers' defensive staff pretty much all Eagles cast? Isn't it Sean McDermott and that whole crew?
Yeah, I think it's McDermott. Yeah,
interesting how they were able to succeed with talent and not succeed with the Eagles' crap defense. Next up, Chicago Bears. This has actually been moved to a 125 spot, but it's the second game on the board. Bears host the Packers. Again, everything to play for. This is for the division. Packers are getting 4.5. Hard to see the Bears not winning this game. with that bad, that porous Green Bay defense combined with, I think the only way the Packers win this game is if it sounds like Cobb might play, but I think it's really going to come down to Eddie Lacy. If Eddie Lacy can shred the Bears defense.
Sounds like Eddie Lacy will play, but.
Yeah. I think the Bears defense, knows the Packers better than they knew the Eagles. I think, and in terms of line value, look, the Bears just are coming off a complete slaughter. Probably the worst game you'll ever see the Bears defense maybe play. I mean, it's probably the worst game I've ever seen the Bears defense play in, I don't know what, 20 years of watching football. At least in the last 5 to 10 years. But I'm a little surprised. I thought this line was going to be higher. I thought this line was going to be closer to 7.
Wait, what's it at right now?
4.5.
Now that's, I'm assuming, with Flynn starting?
That's assuming Flynn's starting. So, of course, there is no real line for this game yet. I don't
probably believe... say 7 with Aaron Rodgers. Sorry. Well, I don't know. What would it be if Aaron Rodgers plays then?
Probably 3-2. Well, no. That means they'd be favored with Aaron Rodgers. I don't even know if they should be favored with Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't sound like Rodgers is going to play, although last week the LVH was completely wrong when they floated a Green Bay -7 line. So I think this week they're being a little more conservative. I still think, I mean, if
the I only like Green, way you, I like Green Bay, man. I
the
do.
Only way you play the Packers if you I think the only way you play the Packers is if you think there's a chance that Rodgers plays. I
like Packers to win outright. Oh. I'm not a fan of Jay Cutler.
Hey man, I hope so too. I think we were texting about this, but last week I put, before the game started, I put $50 on, the Eagles to win the conference at 15-1, and I think the Packers were 18-1. Just cause I think they might be the only two teams that can go into Seattle and do some damage. But, maybe you're right. Maybe the play is the Pack. I just think I'm going to play the Bears just because of the public perception of what happened last week. Of course, the line we're discussing most likely will not be the line when the news drops about Rodgers. But yeah, I don't know. So according to this, they must think because if Rod, they must be splitting the difference. Because if Rodgers plays, there's no way. I don't think the Packers are favored, are they? Maybe it's a pick 'em.
I think it's a pick.
And then maybe if Rodgers is out, maybe it creeps up to like 6. So I don't know. Maybe they're just being conservative. I don't know. I'm still going to take the Bears here.
I like the Packers, assuming Lacy plays.
Okay. Next up, Sean. Tennessee hosts the Houston Texans in what is a completely meaningless game. Titans seem to be playing a little harder. Texans are getting 7 here, though. It's in Tennessee. I don't know what to make of this game. Money is split 50-50 on this game.
What kind of monsters are betting on this game?
I don't see. I mean, this is a game that I really don't have an opinion on. I don't think it should be this many points, though. And I'll just continue to do what I've been doing all year, and that's going down with the ship with Houston. So I'll back Houston getting the touchdown.
I'll continue to do what I've done of late and fade Houston. So fade give me Tennessee. Phillips. Fade Phillips, baby.
Yeah, nice. All right, Sean. Well, this is most likely a meaningless game. Steelers, something to play for. They host the Cleveland Browns. And what does Ben Roethlisberger do when he plays the Cleveland Browns, Sean?
He plays well.
Wins. Browns are getting a touchdown. It's a little scary for me to be playing this Steelers team without laying that many points. Although they've kind of come on of late. They look better. Heath Miller's been more in the mix. And I mean, is Cleveland really any good?
No, but I think 7 points is too much. I don't know why. It just feels like Jason Campbell. Maybe he'll do a little something here. I mean, they do have those great receivers, so I think they'll keep. And Pittsburgh's problem is their defensive secondary letting up big plays. So I think Josh Gordon and Cameron get a deep.
Well, is Cameron playing? He was out last week.
Well, either way, Josh Gordon gets a couple big plays, keeps it close. I'll take Cleveland getting 7.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's the smart. angle. Seems hard to not want to grab the points here. I kind of agree with you. I guess from a scheduling perspective, who does the Steelers need the Dolphins to lose? And the
games will be happening at the same time, so they won't.
Well, no, but don't they need the Chargers to lose?
Yeah.
So the Chargers don't play till later. So there's no reason the Steelers are in at the Browns. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to just back the teams that need to win. Knowing that I'm taking an inflated price here against the Browns. I'm probably not going to bet. The Browns might even change my opinion, but for now I'm going to stick with the Steelers. I think they've really been playing improved ball, and the Browns, who knows? They looked pretty bad last week. All right, Sean. NFC least, Giants host the Redskins. Redskins getting 3.5 whole points. I'll let you start with this one. I don't want to.
Well, I think Washington, that was their Super Bowl last week at home against the Cowboys. They got nothing to play for here. Giants talking about 2014. Coughlin already says he has something to prove. Eli Manning obviously chasing the record books with his INTs. So that being said, I still like the Giants here laying 3.5.
Yeah, I think you got to. I think you could have a dead coach situation. I mean, the only thing that is making me hesitant about the Redskins is the fact that the one person on the field that really has something to play for is Cousins. And he's looked all right. Garcon and him seem to have a nice chemistry going. But honestly, they need to run the ball, and I think that's why they were a little successful against the Cowboys. They were able to run, and I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks, but the Giants' defense is continuing to be good against the run, so I think that will cause Washington some trouble, even without Jason Pierre-Paul, who's been out for a while. I think you might see Tuck have another big game. I think that the Giants could end up rolling here and build some momentum into next year. Getting dizzy from all that spin, Sean.
Yeah, a lot of spin, Ryan. A
lot of spin. All right, Sean.
Do you think? What do you think would be a fair trade for Eli Manning right now? Third rounder?
Oh, nothing. I think a team would give up a first rounder for Eli Manning.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, right? There's only
He's 32.
So many, there's only so many guys in the league that have showed the ability.
Did they draft a quarterback?
They drafted one last year.
Who'd they draft last year?
The kid out of Syracuse that was potentially going to go in the first round and ended up falling to like the fourth round.
Did they give him a look at all this game?
No. Maybe they play. Maybe he gets like a quarter at the end. I don't know.
All right.
Look, they're not going in a different direction.
I think it's time you got to shake things up in New York.
Stop it. I'll bet you we don't need to talk about this. We can talk about it. Save this for next year's preview. Giants Giants will be in the conference championship next year.
Okay.
This is just how it goes, Sean. As someone who's following the Giants, like this is a good bad season for them.
Okay.
All right.
Dizzy over here, Ryan.
I know. I'm getting a little dizzy too. Bengals host the Ravens. This game matters. I think, right? Cincinnati needs to – oh, no. Cincinnati's already clinched the division.
But they would have a shot.
Do they improve their standing if they win? So they have a shot if the Patriots lose, can they get the 2 seed?
I think they
yeah, that's correct. If they win and New England loses, I believe – I'm not even sure if they can – they might not have a shot to – this is interesting.
Yeah, they have to
up the playoff machine.
Yeah,
Sean.
Bengals, for them to get a 2 seed, they have to win, and Patriots have to lose the Bills at home.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so if the Bills lose, Cincinnati.
So they're currently the number 3 seed. They can either go to the 4 seed or the 2 seed, depending.
I don't believe they. Yes, if they lose, they can go down to the 4 seed. which that's not good. You don't want to be the 4 seed and have to catch Kansas City. You want to be the 3 seed and play potentially Miami or get the 2 seed. Baltimore going on the road with Baltimore still has an outside shot, right?
Yeah, I think Baltimore just needs, I think they just need Miami to lose and a win.
No, it doesn't even matter. If Baltimore wins and Miami wins, they're in. Even if the Chargers win, they're in.
Yeah.
So Baltimore controls their own destiny.
Is that true? Because I think there's some weird three-team tie thing going on, too.
Well, I just, in the playoff machine, ESPN.com for anyone who's interested. So I've just selected Pittsburgh to win, Chargers to win, Dolphins to win, and Ravens to win. And the Ravens would be, oh no, I'm sorry. The Dolphins have the tiebreaker.
See, the Dolphins have the three team tiebreaker.
That's what it is. So So the Pittsburgh game has no stake in it, but the Chargers game does. If the Chargers lose, then Miami can win. So Baltimore needs to win and have Miami and have the Chargers lose. That's the easiest. Or just have the Dolphins lose.
Yeah.
So one of those two needs to lose.
Or they could also lose and still get in if everyone else loses.
Is that true?
Yes.
Interesting. Sorry. So if Pittsburgh, San Diego, and Miami all lose, which is probably unlikely based on the spreads. So anyway, the spread is 6, Sean. In the contest, the spread is 6 everywhere else.
I like Baltimore big here. I got to be honest. Coming off a...
Where's this game being played, Sean?
It's in Cincinnati. Oh. Like you said, like
7-0
that
at home.
Yeah, I think Baltimore covers and possibly wins here. They
really?
Have everything to play for. They play well at the end. Joe Flacco's knee is a lot better than it was last week. And they also underperformed the spread by 21 points and catching points this week.
They underperformed by 32.5 points, Sean. Very fabulous.
Give me Baltimore, baby.
I'm going to stick with chalk. I like Cincinnati at home here to win big. Next up, big game for me, Sean. The Colts host the Jaguars. I need the Jaguars to win outright. They're catching 11.5 points, which I got to be honest, this is a bad spread, right? Why are the Colts laying so many points in a kind of meaningless game for them?
Yeah, it's pretty meaningless, but
I mean, if the Bengals lose, they can move to the what? Can they move all the way up to the 2 seed?
Who?
The Colts? Yeah, they can. Yeah, if New England and Cincinnati lose and Indy wins, they become the 2 seed. That being said, they're going to be scoreboard watching. All these games are going on at the same time. You got to be really determined to win a game by that many points, especially when you're not that good. And Jacksonville's been in games, and they seem to be in build for the future mode. So I don't see how you can. I got to take the points here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Jags play better on the road.
Not to mention, 82% of people of tickets are on Indy right now. I don't see, what am I missing here?
Yeah, when in doubt for me this week, it's lay the dogs, just because who knows how hard they're going to be playing. I think Jacksonville will be playing just as hard as Indy, so give me the 11.5 here.
All right, Sean. Sunday Night Football up next. Eagles host the Cowboys. This spread, of course, Sean, when the Lions came out Sunday night, this line opened at 2.5. I grabbed a piece. You then grabbed, I think, a piece of -3 before the news of Tony Romo coming out. The spread is now...
Well, that's partially incorrect, Ryan, because I placed my bet As soon as they came up on the ESPN ticker, they was injured.
Oh, I'm trying to give you credit for being a tycoon.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should give me credit for being quick on the gun and getting my bet in before the ticker.
What I'll do is I'll give credit to the I'll take credit away from the facilitator of all this for not being quick enough.
Well, they were pretty quick. I mean, it was off within 2 minutes. I got it within that 2 minute window.
Yeah. So, Cowboys now getting 6.5, which is, a very interesting line. This line, it actually shot up to 7.5 right away. Leaving, I pondered middling it maybe, cause the 2.5, 7.5 is a nice middle. Gives you 3-7. I didn't do anything, cause I think the Eagles are going to roll in this game. Even at 6.5, I think the play is the Eagles here. This Cowboys team is garbage.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a big road number, but like you said, they're going to be without their quarterback on offense and defense.
To me, I just, how do you see the Dallas defense slowing down the Eagles offense?
I mean, just go look it up. I'm not sure. I mean, Monty Kiffin, I don't know how many times he played, or I'm guessing he played Oregon 2 or 3 times at USC. What was his son there for? 2 years? 2.5 years? So yeah. He played, I can't imagine. I just think his defense is stale and he's not able to make adjustments. And I think if he is successful early, Chip Kelly will adjust and dominate him. I just don't see how that defense, the way they're playing, is going to be able to stop that running attack. I think Philly's going to dominate here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that really concerns me is how do you pick Dallas here? What's the angle on how Dallas wins this game? I guess it's that guys rally around Kyle Orton and defense gets some turnovers.
And Sean,
Dez Bryant makes some big plays.
No, this is how if the Eagles lose, it's because there's – at least, it would have to go over 1.5 special team / defensive touchdowns. I think there's going to have to be some, like, game altering events. Like, you know, like the Eagles are going in for a touchdown and the Cowboys return a pick six or something.
Yeah. And it seems like, Nick Foles has been very prudent with not turning the ball over. I mean, that's the reason why he's leading the league and, QB rating. I mean, they have the number one quarterback in the league and the number one rusher in the league. And they have big play receivers and they have a defense that, as long as they give them decent field position, can keep them in the games and even generate some turnovers. So, yeah, it's tough not to take the Eagles here.
Yeah, their defense is, I mean, much like the Oregon defense was, it's a product of the score. When the Eagles are doing their thing on offense, the defense is going to play better. When the offense is struggling, like we saw against like Minnesota, for example, the defense is going to struggle. So
yeah, and part of that also, I think that was just a huge blunder in Chip Kelly's part by refusing to kick to the Minnesota returner. Well,
he's overthinking it. And so Sean, if the Eagles do win, they will most likely face the New Orleans Saints, which is a very interesting matchup. Gotta love it getting. I mean, you'd much rather face New Orleans than San Francisco, especially New Orleans on the road in Philly. Probably going to be some bad weather, so fly Eagles,
yeah,
fly.
Yeah, I mean, I like them against New Orleans. I mean, San Francisco, I still think they have a shot. Obviously, San Francisco,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but you'd rather not play. I mean, if you had to pick.
Yeah, I mean, out of Arizona,
I mean, honestly,
San Francisco, and New Orleans, I'd rather at all those teams face New Orleans, I think, right now.
For sure. I mean,
maybe
with the stipulation that it's a road game, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be at home. Arizona gave them a hell of a game.
Yeah.
Their defense is possibly, I mean, them and Carolina, possibly their defenses are playing the best in the league. I mean, Carson Palmer threw 4 interceptions and they still found a way to win in Seattle.
I know.
So
it's impressive.
They're an interesting team, and I wouldn't want to have to face them. So,
all right, Sean, moving on. Miami Dolphins taking on the Jets in Miami, South Beach. Ooh, Miami's laying 6.5 here, Sean. They are a team that if they win, they're in, right? Most likely.
Again, I Well, maybe they're the win and you're in candidate, but I think they might need some help.
No, they need to, if they win, they need either San Diego or Pittsburgh. No, they need, all right, so no matter what else happens, Miami needs to win and San Diego.
Why do they need San Diego to win?
Because if Miami and, okay, Miami and Pittsburgh win, Miami gets the tiebreaker. If Miami wins, Pittsburgh loses, San Diego loses, and Baltimore wins, Baltimore's in. So I'm saying, being that Pittsburgh's a favorite, so let's assume Pittsburgh wins, and the two underdogs lose, Miami gets in with a win. And if San Diego wins, Pittsburgh wins, Miami wins, it doesn't matter. Miami still gets the tiebreaker. They just need Baltimore to lose. But the easiest thing is if Miami wins and Baltimore loses, they're in. That being said, I think the Jets are going to be playing for Rex Ryan's job, as crazy as that sounds. And this spread is 6.5. It's too big. I'm going to take the Jets.
Yeah, I think they keep it close. I think this is like a 3 or 4 point game, so give me the Jets.
I don't see why this isn't a 3.5 point spread, not a 6.5 point spread. I know it's a lot of dead numbers. 4 is not really, but that's a big move. I really like the Jets here, actually. All right, Sean, Vikings host the Lions, who somehow the Vikings are favored over the Lions here. Neither team with anything to play for. I don't think the Lions can get in, even if the Packers and Bears tie. So, I don't see the Lions. I mean, if there's a team that's going to not show up because their season just ended, boy, that's the team on the road in Minnesota. Minnesota playing tough at home, playing tough in general. Vikings, I guess, and they just got blown out. What was the just got blown out big by Cincinnati. I like the Vikings -3 here. Keep it short.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Lions, now that they're out of the, look, the Lions went from being the favorite 2 weeks ago to eliminated before the season's over. I think that's going to be devastating. I think Jim Schwartz will not have enough to keep this team together. I think they go down early and fall apart.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, on paper, Detroit should dominate, but I think they pack things up.
All right, Sean. Moving on to the late afternoon games. Patriots host the Buffalo Bills. Bills are getting 9. Patriots have to win this game. But I'm kind of shifting my mentality to yours. This is too many points. This Bills team is still playing scrappy. This Patriots team is got to be one of the more overrated teams in recent memory. They keep finding ways to win, but are they really that good?
Yeah, I just like Buffalo's scrappiness. Like you said, they've won. They're coming off a win. This is a division game. New England's a big rival for them.
Yeah,
it's going to be cold weather. I think they show up.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I meant to mention about the last game, Sean, the Lions, somehow, and this is another thing I don't understand, 85% of tickets on the Detroit Lions. Go figure.
Wow.
New Orleans Saints host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Saints need a win, and they're in. They're favored by 12.5, Sean.
Way too big.
That's a lot of points. It is in the dome, though, and I'm a little concerned that this game could get out of hand. But just out of principle, I got to take the Bucs here.
Yeah, I agree. I have concerns of it getting out of hand. Drew Brees does have kind of a bum knee, though. He got it banged up in Carolina. So I think if they do get up early, and you're talking about maybe they're up by 3 touchdowns or they're up by 20 points, 17 points, I could see them possibly pulling Brees in the fourth quarter there, giving them a little rest.
You think the back door is going to be open here, huh?
I think the back door could be open. And again, Tampa Bay played New Orleans tough. Yeah, granted, last time they played,
well, they should have won. They should have won the game.
They should have won. It was Shiano in Tampa Bay.
Shiano was a pussy and lost that game.
They lost by 2 points. So now, even if you factor in, and they're a much better team now. Now, even if you factor in the home point swing, even giving New Orleans 4, 13 seems pretty high. So, yeah. I'll take Tampa in 13 points.
Yeah. I think the key will be if Tampa can stick with the running game. The Saints are pretty bad against the run. So if Tampa can stick to that running game, they're pretty good at it. As long as the game doesn't get out of hand, of course. But all right, Sean, Broncos head to Oakland where they face the Raiders. I guess technically the Broncos have to win, although it seems like it seems like Kansas City's almost conceding that they're not going to but they can't win the division, right? They're
no, already, Kansas City can't win the division.
Yeah, so and I
but they could lose the one seed. I think if New England wins and Denver loses, Denver could lose the one seed. So Denver will know going into this game because New England plays early. So Denver will know whether or not they have the number one seed locked up, correct?
Yeah, so I think picking before knowing that information, I'm going to assume the Patriots win. But I also, I mean, Denver's Terrell Pryor is going to be starting. I don't know if you saw the news, Sean. Terrell Pryor's agent came out and said that the Oakland Raiders are starting him only to watch him fail.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Either the agent's not very confident in Terrell Pryor's abilities, or I don't know. But I almost like Pryor starting against this Broncos team. No Von Miller. This Broncos team is definitely on a downward trend. Peyton, does he have any more? I'm sure he's got some more records to go for, but I wouldn't be surprised if Peyton gets pulled in this game. I like the Raiders getting, 12.5 point home dog, regardless of the situation, is nice.
Divisional game. I'll take the Raiders here.
Sure. That will be a game I probably won't be watching. All right, Sean. San Francisco 49ers head to the Arizona Cardinals, where the Cardinals are getting a point at home, Sean. I don't know. I didn't really know what this spread might be. They need New Orleans to lose and
yes.
a win to get in.
Yep.
Seems unlikely.
But they won't know. They won't know that because they're playing at the same time. So I like Arizona here. San Francisco coming off a short week.
I just like the home dog. I mean, Arizona's been a very good home team this year. I'm a little concerned about Arizona's ability to do anything on offense, but I think at the end of the day, I don't think the Niners are that much better on offense than the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, and I think Arizona's defense is better than the San Francisco 49ers defense, the way they've been playing. So
yeah.
I like Arizona to show up here at home.
As do I, Sean. All right, San Diego in a must-win game for them, although they will probably know their fate before they play, right?
Well, they'll know if they have a chance. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically if the best-case scenario for them, I mean, they need Miami to lose, basically.
Don't they need – they also need the Ravens to lose.
Yeah, they need the Ravens and Miami to lose if that's the case. It's
a possibility.
It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, Ravens are 6 point. Well, Ravens are 6 point dogs, and Jets are 6 point dogs as well.
So 6.5 point dogs. This
yeah,
spread
but I
is
could,
9.5 though, Sean. And I know that the Chiefs are probably going to play backups, but at one point, like, I mean, this is like a complete shot in the dark. This line, like, how do you come to the conclusion that this is the spread? Like, what are you basing it on?
Yeah, I'm going to go Chargers here.
Really?
I think, yeah, because this Kansas City team is pretty dead.
You think Kansas City's just going to completely lay down? It is on the road. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're probably right. I think Chargers probably play hard regardless.
I think they show up either way.
I think
this will be their last home game.
Next week.
Yeah, the Kansas
you're
City's...
Right. Let's lay the point, Sean. Doesn't feel very good, but let's lay it.
No, you got to think of the situation.
There was a news story that came out earlier today that Keenan Allen, the now star wide receiver for the Chargers, considered quitting football after he wasn't getting many practice reps and snaps earlier in the season. Very interesting. By the way, one quick update. EJ Manuel is probably going to play this week. Mm. And it sounds like Cameron, who had a concussion, has still not been cleared. So he's going on almost... Oh, 2 weeks of not being cleared. That's probably a bad sign. All right, Sean, last game. The Seahawks host the St. Louis Rams, so the Rams are getting 10.5. Boy, it seems like this this Rams team's a lot tougher at home. I'm not sure. I mean, it seems like they're dangling. Now, I thought the line last week was a trap with Arizona. It seems like a similar situation this week. 10.5 points. Seattle has to win.
Yeah.
They won't know. They have to win this game. And not to mention, they got embarrassed last week. I don't see any reason why you take the Rams here.
Yeah, I think they show up and show up big here.
And that being said, I also need the Rams to lose because they've somehow managed to almost backdoor my under 7.5. I probably won't bet it for that reason. I already kind of have action on the game.
Wait, the Rams are 7-8?
Yeah.
Did not realize that.
Yeah, I know. Neither did I. I was looking the other day and I was like, you got to be kidding me. How did this happen? It's because they upset who they just beat at home that they shouldn't have.
Oh, the Saints?
Yeah, that's what it was. So that kind of – anyway. Yeah, I think I'm going to take the favorite here.
Sounds good, Ryan. I'm going to agree.
You agree?
Lay the points.
All right. Let's see here. I'll start, Sean. This is going to be fairly easy, I think. My lock, fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, man.
It's a – yeah. But to be fair, Sean, I'm not attempting a jinx here. I do have – I have future money and I have money on the Eagles already this week. I think they roll. I think they I think they could be in a situation where they're resting guys in the fourth quarter. My money line dog of the week. Boy, I would love to take the Bills, but I don't think that they're not going to get it done. For me, I'm just going to go right to a team that seems to be doing as much as they can to blow their chances of getting to the playoffs, and that's the Jets beating the Dolphins outright in Miami.
Interesting.
Doesn't really feel good. And then for the tees, a lot of good stuff here. First leg of my tees is going to be Panthers down to -1. I'm going to tease the Eagles to a -0.5. And I think I got to go with teasing the Cardinals up to 7.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Let's see here. Let's start with my upset special. I'll go with the Jags. Crazy, but I think with Indy not having much to play, Jacksonville divisional game, they might, and they're feisty on the road.
I still don't understand this spread because the Colts really don't. I mean, technically they have something to play for, but look, they're gonna, barring a 6-point. Favorite losing outright and a 9-point favorite losing outright, they're going to be the 4 seed. So it seems like this is a horrible miscalculation by the bookmakers. In fact, that almost should be my lock of the week, but I'm going to stick with the Eagles just to make you nervous.
I don't appreciate that. Okay, so that's my upset special. For my tees, I'll take the Panthers down to 0.5. I'll take the Titans -1, and I'll take the Packers up to 10.5 there.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And for my lock of the week.
Do it.
I'll give out the San Diego Superchargers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go with the Giants.
Oh, nah, there's no point in trying to jinx them. They've jinxed themselves enough, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Sports Gambling Podcast. Like you said, appreciate the – saw a couple of reviews in iTunes. That always helps, so appreciate that, guys. We're on Stitcher, Facebook, Google+, the whole nine, and especially the Twitter. So send in your picks there. And we always tweet out some news, info, late line adjustments, late picks, second half action, the whole nine there at Gambling Podcast. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Real quick, Sean, gotta plug the look for what part two of the bowl podcast, maybe dropping on Saturday, I think is what we're planning on.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Kramer, let it ride.